In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So today's readings, we're in the second Sunday of Lent, and today's readings are all centered around, obviously, the 40 days and 40 nights of Jesus fasting in the wilderness. And one thing that kind of sticks out to me as I was reading the passage, this passage and also other passages as well, is the very first sentence. It says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And this statement is actually recorded in all three synoptic gospels. So it's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's almost like the gospel writers want to point out the fact that it was necessary, that God deemed it necessary, that he would be led, that the Holy Spirit would lead Christ into the wilderness. Said in another way, that it is the will of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that Jesus goes into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. This is why we're fasting this time period. Okay, I know we have a kind of a week on the front end and a week on the back end, but generally this is the reason for the season. Okay, so if you want to think about this for a second, because sometimes when we hear stories over and over again, we kind of take them for granted. Think about this for a second. Why would Jesus allow himself to be tempted in the wilderness? Why would Jesus go out of his way? Like, we already don't know much about Jesus' life before ministry. Okay, so Jesus lived on the earth 30 years, okay, before entering, like, kind of his time of ministry, which was a very short period, and that's what the Gospels mostly tell us about. For 30 years, we hear nothing. And then once we hear something, Jesus is baptized, and then he goes into the wilderness. You would think, if it's just us writing a story, if this was made up, if this was fiction, if we were writing the story, this is beneath God. If we're being honest, this is beneath God. Like, it's already way beneath God for God to become man like that. And that's like kind of scandalous. And that's why in the early church, that was a big problem. It's a big hurdle for people to overcome and to believe in Christ, was this idea of God become man, because it was beneath God. Like, God is here, man is here. Why would God want to come down? And then, to make it even kind of worse from our perspective, God says, I'm going to go into the wilderness to be tempted. There's obviously a bigger, sometimes we read the story and some commentators will say, like, it, you know, Jesus wanted to kind of prove just like how strong he was. Okay, I don't think that's really what it is. I think there's more and a bigger purpose than just that. But I get it. I get why we kind of have to make up explanations, because on the surface, it's kind of hard to understand. From our human perspective, this makes no sense. Not only are you going to go into the wilderness to be tempted, but God, who created everything, decides that he's going to submit himself to be tempted by one of his creatures, a creature he created. And to make it even worse, it's a creature that despises him the most, that rebelled against him. Like, again, if you're writing the story, it makes zero sense. Zero sense. And that creature, his main focus, he has one focus in mind. It's to hurt the very thing that God loves the most, his children. So think about that. I was trying truthfully to think of an analogy. Usually when I write, like, the sermon and stuff, like, I kind of think, okay, like, I pray and I write, like, what I have in mind, what are the main points, the takeaway. And then I'm like, what are some analogies that we can use to kind of, you know, deliver the point home? What are some... I couldn't think of an analogy. There isn't really an analogy for this. Like, if you wanted to think of an analogy, and I was trying to, like, come up with things, and none of them made any sense, they were terrible, so I'll kind of spare you. This is kind of like the bloopers, okay, of writing the sermon. I say, okay, what if it was like, I'm going to submit myself to somebody who hates me the most, who hurt my family, and I'm going to, like, submit myself to that person. Okay, but that falls very short from this example. Because that person is not somebody I created. Like... That analogy falls so short. And you would say, that would be really hard. To submit yourself to somebody who hated you the most, who hurt the people you love the most, that would be so hard. This is a million times harder. This is a million times harder. I think what the Gospels are pointing us at, what they're pointing us to here, is that there's nothing that Christ wouldn't do, and there's nothing that Christ wouldn't go through to save us. There's nothing. And that's why we say these 40 days and 40 nights, Christ fasted for us to save us from our sins. Jesus looks at me and you today, and he basically says, I'm allowing myself to be tempted. I'm going out of my way to be tempted. This is part of the grand plan of salvation to show you that there's nothing beneath me. There's nothing beneath me. And we know, obviously, we call Jesus the second Adam. Okay, and this is the way of him like kind of renewing humanity because Adam fell by disobedience. And Jesus comes to renew humanity. But really what we see here, like beneath everything, is the extreme humility of God and the extreme love of God. The extreme humility of God and the extreme love of God. Because this, on the surface, makes no sense. We read it over and over again. Oh yeah, Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, no big deal. Like, first of all, fasting 40 days and 40 nights the way Jesus did it, very big deal, okay? Not kind of the way, you know, we do it, the Impossible Burger. Like, that's not the way Jesus fasted, okay? Like, a very big deal. Like, that alone is a big deal. But Jesus, we see the extreme humility in that he submits himself to the temptation, again, by one of his creatures that despises him the most, the creature that rebelled against him, the creature that tries to hurt the thing that God loves the most. And the other attribute we see is the determination of Christ. What that love looks like in action, like what Christ will go through to fight for us. Again, to kind of put it into perspective, forget the fasting component, which was already very difficult. Forget the fasting component. You know how hard it would be to be tempted by the devil himself 40 days and 40 nights? Me neither, okay, because I haven't had to go through that, okay? Like, we don't know. We read the story and we hear three temptations. What a lot of commentators will tell us is the reason we hear of these three temptations is because they summarize for us all the temptations of humanity, okay? They summarize kind of all the temptations of humanity, but they were not the only times that Jesus was tempted. It tells us that Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, constantly, by Satan. And again, this is not like our form of temptation. Like, sometimes we do funny things and we call it temptation. Like, you know, I gave into that chocolate cake that I bought. Okay, so that was my temptation. Okay, that's not quite the same thing that Jesus is going through here. It's a little bit different. So, again, it shows us incredible humility, incredible love, incredible determination on God's part. What God would do to save us. And despite all of that, we obviously know that Jesus did not sin, despite the temptation. Again, the question for me and you is, why would God put himself through that? Why does Christ reveal to us kind of the scandalous love today, this determination today? I think the main thing is to us, to prove to us his love, the depth of his humility, and his kind of like determination, like what we say in the liturgy, we say he was determined to give himself up to death for the life of the world. The other aspect of it, though, from like an application from our day-to-day, I think that it's in our time of temptation, in our time of spiritual struggle, in our spiritual journey, and we have ups and downs, that we always remember that Christ is with us. That we always remember that Christ is with us. The same Christ who decided to enter the temptation in the wilderness to renew us from Adam's fall is the same Christ that enters with me every time I'm tempted. Christ enters with us every time we are tempted. Every time in our spiritual journey when we're kind of in a rut. Every time that we struggle. Every time that we fall. Christ is entering into that with us. Not for a second does God leave his eyes off of humanity, and not for a second does he leave his eyes off of me and you. Like sometimes, and maybe you've been there and you've kind of fallen into this before too, is when we sin, or we like there's like a mistake in our life, or we mess up and we're like, this feels like the worst. Don't we sometimes feel like so far away from God? Like, doesn't that happen to us sometimes? Like, we sin, we fall, and we're like, man, we are so far away from God. Like, there's just a barrier between me and God. But the reality is maybe I have distanced myself from God, but God is right there. That God is right there in the middle of it, in the thick of it, with me. One of the parts that we say in the Divine Liturgy, again, is we say, you have not abandoned us to the end. I love that part when we say that in the liturgy in the very beginning. We say, you have not abandoned us to the end. And again, it's a reminder that God, not just macro level, God never abandons us, but even micro level, individually, God never abandons us. Not only does he not abandon us, but he is there fighting with us. This isn't somebody checking on you when you are sick. This is like somebody fighting with you through the sickness. Okay, and again, analogies fall short, but that's kind of what it is. It's not like somebody just calling you and say, hey, heard you were sick, what's going on, how are you doing? But it's somebody going in there and fighting with you through the sickness as well. There's a story I heard recently that I love so much. It's a funny story. So there is it kind of shows us the glimpse. We learn a lot from the stories of the saints because they show us like a glimpse, a little bit of what God is like, right? Because that's what we say. We say we want to become like Christ. So the saints, like they do that on a better way, okay, like a better level. They've kind of gotten there further. So when they do something and there's a virtue that we admire, we say, they show us a little bit of what God is like, okay? Because even saints, they're still human. So a story I heard recently about a priest who had a friend who was a very saintly person, like actual saint, like a living saint, okay? And this priest had like developed this relationship with the saintly person. And the priest, basically, one day, they would talk all the time. The priest and this person, this friend that they had, they would talk all the time. So one day he picks up the phone and he's talking to his friend and he basically say, hey, you know, kind of having a rough day, pray for me. That's it. Didn't think much of it. Like, you know, priests have rough days sometimes. Okay, just so you know. Okay. So priest says, hey, I'm just having a tough day, kind of down, pray for me. He doesn't think much of it. What the priest later finds out is that person spent all night praying for them. Like all night, like didn't sleep. Like they were awake all night. I know that sounds crazy to us, but like all night praying for them. They just spent all night praying for them. And this saintly person would often be visited like by other saints who have departed, okay, because very saintly person. So somebody, like a saint, appeared to them. And the person, while they're praying, the saint appears to them and he says, what are you doing here? Don't come and visit me. Go to the priest. He's in trouble. Go help him. Which just sounds crazy to me, but like I just don't know. It's a different world, okay? But it's kind of out of this world. And the saint's like praying for them. So the priest picks up the phone the next day, and he's calling this person again. He's kind of just checking, how are you doing? He's like, hey, how are you doing? He said, I'm good. And the saint's like, how are you doing? Like, what's going on? Are you okay? Like, yeah, like, I'm fine. What do you mean? And like, you know, like, you were upset yesterday. He's like, yeah, but like, you know, like, I'm okay. Like, it wasn't like that big of a deal. Okay. So in the saint's mind, it was like a huge deal. It was like this huge, big deal. And in the priest's mind, and when the priest found out later, like kind of the story, he was like, I felt so guilty. Like, I just said, hey, pray for me. I'm kind of having like a rough moment. But it wasn't like this big whole like thing that you had to like spend all night. You had to kick the saint out of your room. Okay, like it wasn't like that serious. But it kind of shows us, okay, this is on a small level, but it kind of shows us the love that when we're filled with God's love, okay, how we can relate to one another. That's a human to another human. Yes, a saint, but a human to another human. Now, God's love for us is so much more matter. Like, God is concerned with us day and night. God is thinking of us day and night. And that's why Jesus goes into the wilderness. Because that's his concern. Is how are, like, us day and night. And God, there's no night with God, okay? Just all the time. That's God's concern with us. So this saint, like, all night long, praying. And we say, wow, that's amazing. I wish I had somebody in my life that cared about me that much. You do. God. Like, way more than that. Way more than that. And we see it today in the temptation. St. Paul says it this way in Hebrews. He says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Okay, and he's talking about like our faith, but also like our faith in action. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's a beautiful passage from Hebrews chapter 4, and it's a passage that relates exactly to the temptations. Is Christ went through this for you, with you, and in any time you're faced with anything in life, he's right there next to you, fighting with you. The reason I love today's gospel so much, I know we read it often, we think like same old story, but the reason I love it so much is today's gospel should help us focus on who God truly is, rather than the God that I make up in my mind. The God that will fight for me. The God that never abandons me. The God that is so concerned with me. Just loves me so much. And there's nothing that's beneath him. He is so humble. God today shows us. Jesus today shows us that. He'll go into the wilderness. He'll submit himself to temptation. He'll even allow himself to be tempted by the creature that he created. The creature that he created rejected him, rebelled him, despises him, tries to hurt everything that he loves. And he says, nothing is beneath me. I'm going to fight for you. My prayer is that if we can hold on, my prayer is that we hold on to this image of who Christ is throughout our journey of Lent. Because Lent is a long journey. And in Lent, there's ups and downs. And in our spiritual journey and in life, there's ups and downs. But if we can hold on to who Christ really is, especially in who he shows us in temptations, is that he's the one that cares for me, that fights for me, that wants to heal me, that transforms me, that renews me, that he's working in me day by day. If I can hold on to that, then I never lose hope, that I'm strong, that I'm inspired, then I want to fight as well and go on in my Lent journey. My prayer is that we can hold on to this reality of who God is throughout our journey of Lent, and then when we get to the end of that journey, that we've experienced Christ in a new way, and glory be to God forever. Amen.